in the building. We got Cam Dukes.
It is your host, Les Thomas, and I'm with Stillwater America Podcast.
This is the We Love Athletes Podcast.
I guess good looking, probably. That's probably it.
And most importantly, the hard work of our educators.
Thank you again for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast. Go in.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast, where I sit down with fabulous people to have go-in conversations. Go-in is being consistent and doing the right things that allow for you to achieve the wins that you have defined for your life so that you can live out your greatest story, okay? And I want two things to happen from you listening to this podcast. I want you to learn, and I want you to be inspired. Learn, be inspired. Learn and be inspired. Okay, so today I'm sitting down with my friend Mel Willis, photographer. And she's a specific type of photographer, but as you all know who've been listening to me for years, I can't say words very well, but I'm going to try. Architectural photographer. And design photographer. Is that?
Yeah, architectural, interior design.
Oh, interior design. That's such a long, like, was that a degree that you was like, that's what I want to do?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
What was that like?
Honestly, what I went to school for was graphic design, and I kind of stumbled into architectural photography, which is actually, I call it architectural photography because you're right. It's a really, really long.
Architectural
and interior design photographer. Yeah, it's just
photography.
Yeah, it's just easier to say architectural, but many years ago, I had accepted a job working for an architecture firm, and I started just kind of doing administrative work. And they knew that I kind of had a passion for photography, and they said, are you interested in photographing some of our projects? I said, absolutely. I had no idea what I was doing, and I kind of fell into this rabbit hole of trying to figure out the best way to photograph architecture, and here I am today.
Out of figuring it out, you have now landed on your profession. Like, this is your jam.
This is it, I think.
You think? How long have you been doing it now?
On my own, I've been doing it for about 5 years. I started photographing architecture in 2008. Okay. Of course, I was in-house marketing, so I was only photographing that firm's projects. And
gotcha.
I decided that was kind of what I wanted to do all around. So when I worked in marketing, I helped with all kinds of visuals. I'd put together proposals for them to win new projects. I would put together interview slide decks. So like whenever a firm is pursuing new work, they typically will, they'll put together a proposal, and then a bunch of firms will put together proposals and submit those. And then they will get shortlisted for a project, and then they go interview with the people who are selecting the winners. So they need to have like an interview slide deck put together.
Gotcha.
So I just wanted to explain what that was for people that aren't familiar with the process. So I did a lot of the visual marketing for them, but my passion was architectural photography. So
nice.
Yeah.
And then you eventually branched out on your own?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. In 2019, I started.
Right before COVID.
Right before COVID.
Oh my goodness. So whenever I met you, were working for that particular firm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you transitioned out on your own at some point. Then COVID came.
Yep.
And how was that just navigating COVID?
You know, it was very scary in the beginning. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. But with architecture, the COVID stuff didn't really hit until a little bit later on. Of course, like the first couple of projects that I had, they wanted to push the timeline back on photographing just because we didn't know what it was going to look like. If I would get access into those spaces or what kind of PPE I had to wear, like masking, gloves, whatever. But once we kind of like figured that whole situation out, and I don't mean like I just mean society figured out that situation about like masking and everything. It really didn't disrupt me too much until like delays started happening on manufacturing material. and building products, that's kind of when it hit. So it was probably about like a year, year and a half later. It slowed down a little bit, but it ramped right back up and busier than ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, for somebody who's listening, kind of going back and forth here, but somebody listening, they're working for somebody, they're in the photography world, whatever. How did you make that decision? Like, I'm gonna go out on my own. For a person who may be listening, like in that place, to trying to like, man, I don't know if I should do this on my own. What does that look like for me? How did that look for you?
To be completely honest, it was terrifying.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of freelancers that are just kind of like, if it's what you're passionate about, just go ahead and do it. It wasn't quite as easy of a decision for me. It was something that I wanted to do. And a lot of my loved ones in my life were kind of like, you know, do you want to look back on this in 10, 15, 20 years and wonder? But I kind of like, I had a very good office job and it was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was consistent.
Yeah.
Like I got a consistent paycheck. It was safe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a tough call. Luckily I had a good support system. My now husband, he was my boyfriend back then. He's very business savvy and kind of helped me get an idea of what it would take. He loves Excel spreadsheets and we're very opposite. He's like very like organized.
There is nothing better than having somebody in your life who loves spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you
seriously.
That. Seriously. Yeah, especially if you're trying to go into business or do any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A good person who loves spreadsheets.
Absolutely.
Is
so
a
yeah,
win.
He kind of at that time we were not married. Married was not really in the picture, so I had my own house and my own expenses, and he kind of put together this Excel spreadsheet that showed, you know, how much all my bills were all together and how much I would need to charge for a project, how many projects I would need to get in a year. And that really kind of helped me, I guess, visualize it, because when you just don't know, when you don't have a map of how to get there, it's really scary.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, do you think even having the beginning part, right, before you do it, and this is just in a like, okay, this is what it could look like. This doesn't mean that it's really going to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, has it turned out to look the way that you all kind of envisioned it? Or
it actually looks better than I ever could have dreamed.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very grateful. And I know that the rug could be pulled out for me tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, I thought it was going to be maybe what, like 6 months before I had heard from my first client, but it was probably about 2 weeks after left my office. And the phone rang and I did a couple projects for them and they enjoyed working with me and they hired me to come back. And I will say I was very fortunate that I had so many years of experience as an in-house marketer for architecture, because the AE world is very close-knit in Oklahoma. So people that I used to work with, they had gone on to work for other firms and they were telling their marketing people about me after I had kind of gone out on my own. So I really had help with word of mouth in the beginning, just because I had already built those connections and those relationships with people for several years before I even left.
Yeah. So that helped out big time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your family. You've mentioned your now husband.
Mm-hmm.
How long y'all been married now?
We got married at the end of 2019, before the pandemic. All the big things
new
happen.
Business, yeah. Married, pandemic,
yep.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You said he's a business savvy kind of guy.
He's very business savvy. His undergrad, he went for econ.
Oh.
Which is unbelievably helpful.
Yeah.
For me, having a business, I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I run to him.
He's like, I got you. I know exactly.
And then he went to grad school and got a law degree. So it's kind of like the best of both worlds. Like, he kind of has it all covered for me.
What kind of law does he do now?
He's a non-practicing attorney. He deals a lot with contract negotiations.
Oh, okay.
Which works to my benefit.
Yeah. Because he's aware of contracts. And
yes.
Kind of the wording and the language is best and what needs to be in them and all that good stuff.
And I have a fairly standard contract, but even just this week I had a client that was like, this looks great. Can you add this wording in there? And I just immediately sent it off to him. Like, help me with this wording.
Oh, okay.
And we kind of ping off of each other and he'll send it back to me and say, does this sound good? Does this cover what you need it to?
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. See, I'm the kind of person like, you just tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't I'm so not that kind of person. So,
yeah,
my dad's an attorney and not a non-practicing attorney, but he's an attorney. And so whenever I have something, I'm like, I just send it to him.
Oh,
like,
man.
Dad, you just tell me what you think's best and all that because my brain just doesn't work like
same.
That.
I think we're similar.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just like, I just want to do the service for the people. I'll do it for free if I have. You know, like I'm almost that kind of guy, which is not the best. I got three kids, and right? But I'm like, I just want to do the work, but all that stuff. But he's been great in the same way that your husband has for me. So that's really good. How would your friends and family describe you?
This is a tough one. I feel like I don't want to give any of the words that you would see written in a high school yearbook. Like, you're so nice. You're real sweet.
Just be honest with us.
Well, honest is probably one of the words.
Oh, okay.
I would think. I try to be as honest as I can.
Have you always been that way, or did you learn that from your parents? Or, some people are just naturally a certain way, then there's some people who's been molded kind of.
I think I've probably been molded that way.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, I think I've always been, I've always been that way, but I definitely think it was because of my parents.
Yep.
If I get caught in a lie or anything like that, it's just it tortures me. So I would just rather not deal with any of that. I would say, honest, and maybe I'm fairly perceptive.
Okay.
I have this weird, I don't know if it's a gift. I can usually pick up on an individual without knowing them that well.
Okay. Okay.
Get a reading on them, I suppose.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What is that called?
I don't know.
You are my cousin's this way. And I always tell her, I was like, I almost feel like she uses that gift in the wrong way. Like, she can discern things about people. Like, and I'm like, I'm not that way at all. I think everybody's nice. And she's like, no, that person's out to cut your neck. And I'm like,
oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she just knows that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then she'll turn around and kind of use it to talk about people. I'm like, no, I think you're supposed to have that gift to help people kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so, she has the ability to discern very well, who people are.
I think I use it more is this person going to be an easy person to work with?
Uh huh.
Are they going to be the right fit for me?
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
So you'd be great in HR.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You would be a great HR person.
Yeah, I can read people fairly well.
Yeah, people need that to be able to be in HR world.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't need to be hiring anybody.
Yeah.
no, but I don't think I should be the one doing this. Even if you're running the business or whatever, sometimes that shouldn't be your role just because that's not what you.
Yeah.
Just not good at that. So, okay. So honest.
Perceptive.
Perceptive.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Is there any other thing that you think they would say about you? Is sweet one of those, kind?
I've been told that I'm too nice.
Okay,
to a fault.
I would see, of course, we haven't spent a whole bunch of time together, but we've been around each other. I would think that that would be one of the ways. Just super nice and kind.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I like to be easy to work with or easy to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like being nice is kind of part of that. And maybe yes, I'm nice. I'm trying to get to a point where I don't let people walk all over me or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
It takes some practice.
It does.
Yeah. So yeah, probably that might be one of the words.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. No, I would say those things about you not spending as much time as your friends and family, but yes, for sure. Tell me about your first camera.
Oh, okay. My first camera, whenever I first graduated high school, so I was 17 years old. I graduated just a few months early. I'm a June baby. So I was 17 when I graduated. I think most people are 18. I could be wrong. But my dad, he always got us gifts for Christmas, birthdays, any kind of big celebratory thing. He always got us gifts that were kind of hobby related.
Yeah.
Like one year he got me a guitar that didn't stick. One year he got me a telescope, which is super cool, but not anything that I could like pursue. I actually still have that telescope.
Wow.
Yeah. But whenever I graduated high school, he got me a 35 millimeter film camera, and I kind of just became obsessed. And it was.
So it was a fixed lens?
No. No.
Oh, 35 millimeter. You mean it was film?
Yeah, it was film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think learning photography in that medium really makes it stick with you, because I think with digital, you can just set it to certain settings and kind of get away with it. But film, like, you really have to know what you're kind of doing because you can't see the preview until you get the photos back.
Yeah.
So I kind of became obsessed with it. And then Christmas a couple years later, he bought me a Canon Rebel.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So
like T1, T3.
Yeah.
Like those kind of things.
Yeah. I don't even remember which one it was, but yeah, something along those lines. And then I slowly started getting like a little more fancy equipment year after year as I started to pursue. Like, I had originally, whenever I had that 35 millimeter camera, I photographed just like things around the yard, like flowers and all that kind of stuff. And then I moved on to people.
Now, were you taking like tons of pictures?
Oh,
yeah. Do you still have them? Were you saving them, or?
You know, honestly, I think I have film scans somewhere on my old Flickr, maybe.
Yeah.
Flickr. Don't go look at it.
Wow. <They're bad. laughs> Flickr. I'm gonna search you in Flickr and see.
Oh, yeah. They're still up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and then after, you know, having a Canon Rebel, I got like a full-frame camera. I started moving into – I still do film. Some medium format.
You still do film?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, it's when I have the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's.
And what do you get them processed at?
We have a dark room in our
house. Oh, you do them at your. Mm-hmm. Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Now, when you were in school, when did you learn to do dark room?
Myself. I learned photography all by myself.
Oh, okay.
I never went to school for it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's just tons and tons of resources. If you have questions, like, you can pretty much find the answer to it anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of trial and error, to be completely honest.
Now, the dark room, when you were doing that, were you, at that time, YouTube around? Like, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. YouTube's been around for a long time.
I don't want to try to assume somebody's.
But when I first learned photography, YouTube was not around.
Okay.
And I learned a lot of it from Flickr.
Did Flickr have articles?
They had like, it was kind of like a forum.
Okay.
Where people would be like, hey.
Got you.
I'm getting like this weird color cast. What do I do to get rid of that? And then people would all chime in and say, oh, you can use this tool or you can do this. Yeah.
I love that. I love when people go out. My friend and I are just now going from school to school doing some stuff. And he was talking about his son changing his oil, like doing all this major work on cars. And he's learning on his own. Like, I didn't teach him. He's just been getting on YouTube. And now he's teaching other people and doing it for his friends and stuff like that. And I was like, I mean, I appreciate your education. Of course, I'm out supporting it. But I was like, man, it's just the world's changing. You can learn to do stuff in other ways now.
Within reason.
Maybe
don't go to medical school on YouTube.
No, you cannot do medical. Yeah, that's another thing I was saying. Well, if you want to do a lawyer or a dentist or any of those things, you definitely have to, you know, go to school and make those things happen. But there are some great things like that people really do well, photography and all sorts of things that you don't have to do that. Tell me your favorite lens.
Well, it really depends on the scene.
Okay.
But I can tell you the lens that I probably use the most is my 24 millimeter tilt shift.
Tilt shift?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me. I get 24 millimeter. Mm-hmm. Like, is that a fix? That's a...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. There's no zoom. No zoom.
It's 24 millimeter. But what's mm-hmm. a tilt shift?
Yeah.
Is that a brand or?
Well, no. It's a type of lens, and I wish I would have brought it so I could show you. But it has like little knobs, like wheels on it, and the lens itself, like you can shift it upward. So it's hard for me to describe it to you without showing you a visual.
Wait,
but
let's see. Okay, keep explaining it, but I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, so if you, for example, let's say you're photographing a really tall building, uh-huh. and you're wanting to get the whole building in it, typically somebody would just kind of, if they don't have a tilt shift lens, they would just, you know, take their camera or their lens or whatever and point it upward.
Yeah.
And that would create like a keystone, these converging lines that kind of, the building would do this or this. Yeah. So a tilt shift lens, you're able to just shift that lens up and get the full view rather than them? Tilting your lens upward. Those are them. Yeah.
Huh.
See those wheels on the side?
Yeah. Like these little things?
Yeah. That's the one.
Is this the one you have?
Yep.
Are you Canon or?
Canon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything else or you've always been Canon?
As far as like my workhorse, it's always been Canon, but like film, I have all
your
other
workhorse.
Kinds.
That's
yeah,
the one that you,
that's the one. I don't know. I think that was honestly because my dad, whenever he bought me those first cameras, it was Canon.
Uh huh.
And once you kind of buy your way into the lens system,
yeah,
it's hard to
yeah
switch over
because they're just
so
expensive.
I don't know if I necessarily have a preference, Nikon, Canon, Sony, but it's what I use.
gotcha. Okay, so talk about your lens. What's your body?
I have an R5 right now.
Okay.
And then I had a Canon 5D Mark IV. I'm trying to remember because I haven't used it in a long time. But it's my backup body now because I have had a camera fail while on a shoot, and there's nothing worse.
Oh my goodness, than the camera failing on you on because you only had one camera when it happened?
Yes.
Oh my, so what do you do?
Well, at that time, luckily, I still worked for that same firm, so we were able to reschedule, but okay. I don't know what I would. Since then, I've always had a backup body. Like, gotcha. I just won't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. So, R5, now the R series, they're not that old. What is it, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, right? Just a few years.
What was it like transitioning to a new kind of camera? Like, because it's built different, right?
It's built different, yeah. Different. The settings are all in different places. So, there's a little bit of a grace period, I guess. It took me a little bit longer to get acquainted with it because I just knew how to access everything on the 5D like that.
Yeah.
But now if I have to go back and use the 5D, it's like, what is this thing? Like, where are all these settings?
What is this dinosaur?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. But
what is this dinosaur?
And then sometimes it's very rare, but if I'm trying to get a building that has like two different perspectives – at twilight, which is when a lot of people request their exterior photos, is at twilight. And I don't know if you're aware of how quickly the sun moves once it's starting to get towards the horizon, but that twilight probably lasts like 10 to 20 minutes. Mm. So you don't have a lot of time to like set up and then run over and get it and then set up for another one. So sometimes I'll set up two cameras. So I will still use it, even not as a backup. I'll just set up two cameras.
Yeah.
So I can kind of trigger them at the same time.
Yeah.
And save myself some pulling my hair out.
Yeah. Tell me about your favorite photo.
Man.
Do you have one?
I don't know if I have a favorite photo. I'm one of those people that I don't have a favorite song. I don't have a favorite band. I don't have a favorite movie.
I have a favorite.
I don't. I have a lot of ones that I love. I do have a photo, and it's I don't think it's on there, of my grandparents that I took It's my grandma standing in the kitchen. You can see my grandpa in the background cooking. I think it was Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
I love that photo, but of course that does not relate to what I do for a living.
No, that's all. But it didn't have to. I just wondered what your favorite photo in general. Didn't have to deal with your work, but just so that.
I do love that photo. Yeah.
Was it with your phone or was it with your camera?
It was with a film camera.
Okay.
And when it when I look at it, I can taste my grandma's noodles because she was cooking.
Oh.
It's one of those kind of photos.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, I love looking, when you post on Instagram, you don't post a whole bunch.
I know, I need to post more. I get so busy with all of my admin work.
Yeah.
Because I have assistants that help me on photo shoots, but as far as all of my office stuff, responding to emails, putting together proposals, invoicing, all the behind the scenes stuff that nobody gets to see, it's all me.
Oh.
So I'm my own admin assistant. I'm my own accounting person. I'm my own HR. So
do you block out time to do that?
You know, I probably should, but I don't.
Okay.
So I kind of, it's just
let it happen when it happens?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I also edit all my own photos. So whenever I leave a shoot, I go dump all my photos onto my computer and then I spend hours and hours and hours editing. So usually I will check my email first thing in the morning and then I'll start editing. And then when I need a break from editing, just because my eyes are so strained, I will check my email and then I'll sometimes get a little distracted and work on whatever they're asking for. And then I'm like, no, I need to finish these photos.
Yeah. I gotta do this.
Yeah. So yeah, sometimes I will just put my email away so I can't see it for a few hours so that I finish what I originally was working on. It's just really hard for me to block off time to respond to emails because people sometimes need responses really quickly. If they're trying to coordinate a shoot with a restaurant, and they say, hey, do you have April 4th available? I need to check with my assistant and make sure that they're available. I just need to coordinate a lot of stuff fairly quickly to get back to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can't really say okay, Fridays are going to be my email days or.
Yeah.
It's a little.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, but I keep telling myself I just need to block out.
Mm-hmm.
Mondays is admin day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I let my schedule get away from me, and it's okay, Monday's not admin day. It's everybody else's day.
Yeah.
You know? And so it'd be great if I did that. So, again, I love following you on Instagram, and I just want to, scroll through some of it. So this is did you took this picture, and what is this here that we're looking at?
This is a home up in Nichols Hills, and it was designed by Brian Durbin. And that's their living room.
So in your type of work, what are you looking for when you took this picture? What are you trying to capture?
That's a tough one because it's really client specific.
Oh, okay. So the client's kind of speaking to, hey, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. They don't say, go take pictures of this house, this architect, this work, and you go do it and then bring them back. They kind of give you a layout of what they want.
It's a little mix of both.
Okay.
So it's I photograph for architects, I photograph for interior designers, I photograph for builders. Sometimes I will photograph for material reps, like a floor manufacturer or the marble on that fireplace, on that last picture. So it's really dependent on the type of client.
Okay.
And
because depending on the client, we'll kind of determine what they're looking for.
Yeah.
So if it's interior design, maybe it's this wall, has laid out, maybe. I don't.
Yeah, I think interior design kind of lends itself to more vignettes than architecture because architecture, and that's not necessarily universally true. But a lot of architects are looking for more of a big picture view. And I would say a lot of interior designers are typically looking for more vignettes of certain spaces, a seating space or a dining space.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's not universally true. I also ask a lot of qualifying questions to kind of get an idea of what their style is, because yeah. every firm has a different opinion on what is like, yeah. what is the jam. Some people want, or like some firms want people in their photos. Some absolutely hate people in photos. Yeah, some, too. You know, it's just, it's really dependent on, yeah, who I'm working for. I wish I had a better answer.
No, I think that's great. Because, okay. you know, especially for somebody who's like me, who doesn't have any clue, right?
Right.
But super interested in just the work that you do
yeah.
from watching Instagram and things of that nature. And then just knowing you in a completely different world. So when I'm thinking about somebody who may be thinking about photography, mm-hmm. they may have a little bit more of a concept of what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? But they may have never thought about doing photography for this particular type of,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
So, but I think qualifying questions is good, period. And learning to ask the right kind of questions to be able to serve your client well.
Absolutely.
Is super important. Yep. So, and I would only imagine in this kind of work that being challenging, but at the same time.
You know, in the beginning, I didn't really ask as many qualifying questions. And I think it was a little, it's so much easier if everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, what the client wants, you know what deliverables they need, that you know when they need it by. And there's nothing worse than disappointing somebody. So if you just know what they need or know what they want, you just have a better chance of delivering
yeah.
what they need.
Yeah, because you're not trying not to. Like, yeah. you want to be able to give them what they want.
Oh, absolutely.
But, so are those questions generally the same? Like, are there these 10 questions that I typically start with, mm-hmm. and then out of that, I'll learn what other questions I need to ask? Or
yeah, so I send 2 rounds of questions.
Oh, 2 rounds?
Yes.
And how many questions is in each round?
So the first round is 5 questions.
Okay.
And that, I get an idea of the project so I can put together the proposal. I have to understand the scope of the project before I can even tell them what the cost is going to be.
Okay, yeah.
So that is just like the proposal phase questions. And mm-hmm. it's fairly simple stuff, like where's this project located, yada, yada, yada. And then once we move past the proposal phase, then I have another, I think it's like 9 questions. And it's kind of stuff that I've learned in the past 4 to 5 years. Because the first year, I knew what I was doing when it came to photos.
Yeah.
But like working with clients is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Like my clients were my coworkers previously. And I could just walk over to their desk and say, hey, what do I need to focus on in this?
Yeah.
You know? Or hey, it's gonna rain tomorrow. Do you want me to reschedule? But there were certain situations, like in the first year or two, where I didn't ask, it's going to rain tomorrow. Do you want to reschedule this? Or it's going to rain next Saturday or Monday or whatever the day is. And there were sometimes I would do an entire photo shoot and the client would be like, man, really wish it hadn't been cloudy. Like, oh, okay. Well, I wish you would have communicated that. So it's not something that they necessarily think of, because that's not their job, is to design stuff.
Yeah.
My job is to think about how the photos are going to turn out.
Yeah.
So I've kind of like put together this way of knowing what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it makes everybody happier.
Yeah.
It makes
me
happier. It makes them happier.
And then you probably don't have to do multiple shoots. Right?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, it's just so much easier to get it right the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this picture here, we're looking at on Instagram. It's a table. The things are laid out on top of the table, mm-hmm. some chairs. It's just almost a corner of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was this client work or is this you just admiring a moment? Or
yeah, so this is None Such restaurant.
Osis restaurant, okay.
Uh-huh. In Oklahoma City. And this was photographed for Fitzsimmons. And sometimes I'm also just very, very lucky that the client will be on site with me. And in this case, the client was on site with us. So sometimes, and this was just one room. So typically I'll kind of like plan a photo shoot. I'll make a schedule and I'll send it over to the client and say like, hey, these are the spaces that I think we should be capturing. I just want to make sure that you agree. If not, let me know. I'll revise this. This was one room. So I didn't have to say, hey, I'm thinking about photographing this room. What do you think? Uh-huh. So she was there on site with us, and the architect, the guy, like the main guy that designed it. It's like it's a whole team thing whenever you're working with commercial architecture. But like the main designer stopped by, and I kind of picked his brain a little bit and said, you know, what are the unique things on this project that I really need to take into account? And then we just kind of framed some things up together and showed them to her. I have like these screens so that they can see what the preview's looking like. And if they think, you know, I love this, but I really wish you could also see this detail, I can kind of reposition. Mm. It's very collaborative.
Yeah.
And then Instagram makes me crop it. So this is actually not the full.
Oh, is this not?
So it's not the full.
Oh, got you. So I love this, the colors on this.
Mm-hmm.
This place is really. Yeah. And I think that's what I love about your photo. Like, you do some cool, like the design, interior design, or mm-hmm. I don't know which one. You know, I just love it.
We see some cool spaces.
Yeah.
We get to see some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
We get to work with some really, really talented designers. And I was telling you earlier, like we mostly photograph in Oklahoma, but we also photograph outside of Oklahoma. Yeah. But I hate when people are like, oh, Oklahoma. And I'm like, no, Oklahoma. We have some really talented people. Like, check out these projects.
Yeah.
They're like, I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
Well, open your eyes.
Yes.
We have some really talented designers here. And I love getting to tell people and show people that.
Is that car there?
Mm-hmm. It's an art installation in front of Oklahoma Contemporary.
The art desk.
Mm-hmm.
The art desk is the magazine.
Correct.
But this is downtown Oklahoma City on Broadway, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I've been. Oh. Yeah, I've greeted there for an event. Yeah, that's legit.
That's Palm Springs. That's not here.
Yeah, no, I can tell by the trees.
The palm trees.
Yeah, but this is a great. Is that a house?
It is a house. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Did you get to stay there, or you just?
Yeah, we did. It was awesome.
Yeah, that is legit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's in Tulsa. That's the Bob Dylan Museum. As I'm sure you could kind of see, that's Bob Dylan.
Now, was this just you having fun, or?
No, we were. So sometimes projects will have like a local architect and a non-local architect work on something, and the local architecture firm had us photograph it.
Oh, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. That was designed by Lily and Olson Kundig.
Looks great.
Yeah, those last three are in Tulsa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's in Tulsa.
Where is this at? This is great.
That is the Ellison Hotel.
Oh, I haven't been in there yet.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Did Matt have you come out and do that, or did the architect?
Actually, the builder did.
Okay.
Yeah. Vincent.
That looks great. Yeah. That is so good. I haven't been in there yet.
It was a fun one.
Anyway, right now, just for y'all who listen to audio, well, I guess YouTube or whatever, we're just flipping through Mel's Instagram since she's here with me. I've never had her right here with me while I admire her work, you know. So where is this at?
That's in Terlingua, Texas. It's like right on the border of Mexico.
Okay.
Right by Big Bend National Park.
And who had you come out and do this?
That one was just a vacation picture. Like sometimes if I just see something. That's too good to not get. You know what I mean?
But it feels like it would be your work, though. Like, somebody would have you out looking at this. Or maybe not. Yeah.
No, it's architecture.
Yeah. No, it looks so cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, this is really cool, and it's cool to be able to kind of just walk through these photos with you. When we were on the call, we talked about just your work, and I was like, man, what are some five right things? Because mm-hmm. this podcast is all about helping people discover the right things for them to achieve the wins. And so maybe somebody wanting to do similar work as you, just thinking about what are some five right things to consider we talked about on the call or to do. And then you have these five, and I'm just going to go through the list real quick, and then you can we're just going to walk through them real quick. The first one is thirst for knowledge. Second one's persistence, good communication skills, thick skin, and then understanding it's a collaborative process, which some of the stuff you've kind of already been touching on. But let's just walk through these real quick. What's the first one, thirst for knowledge? What do you mean?
So I think... I mean, typically whenever somebody starts photography, it starts as a hobby. And you it piques your interest. But I think that you have to like have a desire to continually learn for it to become a profession. And just going down, you know, going down that rabbit hole, learning lighting, learning what lens is going to give you whatever your desired outcome is, learning things. If you're wanting to learn interior and architecture, possibly learning about interior and architecture would be very helpful. I love photography because it's one of those hobbies, professions, that you are constantly learning. I've been doing this since I was 17 years old, and I'm still learning. I don't prefer hobbies where you kind of, like, you try it out, and you're like, okay, well, I guess I figured it out. So I think that's why photography stuck with me, because I'm still learning new things all the time, and things are constantly changing and adapting, and there's new technology all the time. And, yeah, I think you need to probably read up on the latest whatever's happening in your field. But I think, having a thirst for knowledge.
That's good. number two, you said persistence.
You will, if you pursue photography, you will get knocked down a little bit. But if you stay persistent in it and you keep honing your skill and take, you know, certain criticisms or certain things, even criticisms that you might give yourself, you know, like, I really wish I could learn. For some reason, I can't figure out how to light this space properly. If you're persistent, and it kind of, I guess, goes back to thirst for knowledge, you go back and learn what you need to do. I think, yeah. I don't know how to tie that together, but persistence is really important. You're going to get knocked down. You got to get back up.
And I think that's exactly right. Like, just with anything in life, but I definitely can see that. I'm not a photographer, but I like dabbling with cameras and things like that. And I mean, if you don't just keep going, you're not going to learn and be as great as you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just ain't going to happen. Without
it doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think people think it happens overnight because they only get to see like a small fraction of your life.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more that that happens behind the scenes. So it doesn't happen overnight. Sticking with it, that's really the only way to learn.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of these five right things are not just photography specific. I feel like they would be for any passion or profession or thing that you want to pursue in your life.
No, thirst for knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing is best. It's gonna be a win for you if you can continue to have this hunger to want to learn how to do it better and better. Persistence, you know, definitely a life thing. And then your number three, good communication skills.
Absolutely. Like I was talking about earlier, I need to know what the client's desired outcome is. And I can create the roadmap how to get there, but without knowing what they want or need, what are these images going to be used for, you know? It just makes the process so much easier, having good communication. Or, you know, if something doesn't go quite as planned, coming right out and saying, hey, man, I'm sorry. Like, this didn't work out for whatever reason, for ABC. And just, like, communicating with them about that rather than, you know, like,
not
hiding it.
Yeah. And letting it be that thing that nobody wants to talk about
exactly.
because it was never brought up
yeah.
or asking the right questions,
mm-hmm.
right? You doing yep. that is really great. And so I think those are, yeah. And one of the things, talking about going back to this isn't just for photography or your work, I think about marriage, like good communication. If I want to get
yeah.
healthy marriage, I got to have good communication
Big
skills.
That's probably one of the most important skills for being married.
Yes,
I
think.
Yeah.
It is. It is. That's the first thing that I think about. But yeah, so, and then whenever you're providing a service for somebody, communication is going to be key.
Mm-hmm.
Asking the right question, mm-hmm. listening, you know, and then paraphrasing back what they say,
yep.
like, let me make sure I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is what I think you're saying. And then hopefully they have the will, the ability to say, nope, that's not it. Let me try to say it a different way.
And that's why I started creating schedules of our photo shoot day. It's not only communicating with my client, it's also communicating with the building owner or whoever the manager is going to be, that, like, for example, that restaurant. I need to let them know how long I'm going to need to be in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so awkward whenever you show up to a photo shoot and that hasn't been communicated. And they're like, oh, okay, so this will probably take you, what, like 20 minutes, right? And I'm like, actually, we probably need like 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah,
And a lot of people, if you haven't been on a photo shoot, that has like studio lighting and all these kinds of things, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So I can understand why like somebody wouldn't know. That's why I try to prepare them.
Yeah.
I say, hey, we're going to be here at this time. We're going to need however many hours. We're going to need access to like the lighting panels so that we can like mess with the lights. We're going to need access to this, and this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible to scramble on photo shoot day.
Yeah.
You just want to have everything like planned out, and which is hard for me because I am not an organized person. I have systems in place because I know that about myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I have like these things that I make sure every project has.
Yeah.
And it's helpful.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. And I'm trying to get better at that because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a system, but if you're not following the system,
that's true.
You know, I can have all the systems. I feel like I have so many systems. Even when I wake up in the morning, I got a system on the things. But if I don't do it, if I don't follow through the system, it's worthless. So,
yeah.
Number four, thick skin.
Mm-hmm. And this might also have to do with the last point, which you're going to get to in a minute. But you might not be for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everyone probably isn't for you.
Yeah.
You're going to get critiques on your work. And that's not something you see from Instagram, but a lot of my clients are like, this is great, no edits, blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes I get critiques that are like, they'll ruin my day.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I know the feeling. Yes. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you're not even a photographer.
Yeah.
Like, what do you know about editing?
Yeah.
You know, and then, because what they want and see is like, is that real?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that realistic?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you know, and yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I cannot. That's the reason I don't like, let me not say I don't like, but it's hard to do a service for people.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes people can have these thoughts and things that are not, it's like, no, that's not going to be, or you're going to pay me a lot more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we can do that, but it's going to cost you something that you don't want to pay for right now.
And sometimes that is the case. Like I've had, rather than just waiting until springtime to photograph something, they'll have me photograph it in winter and they'll be like, oh, I don't like that the trees are dormant. I'm like, okay, well, if you want that fixed, I probably need to send that off to an editor. It's going to cost you X amount of money.
Yeah.
Because I just.
Yeah, that's not my skill set.
Yeah. I take photos. I'm not a digital graphics tree replacer.
Yeah. I can't place leads. I can get it done. It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you some money because they can do some incredible things right now.
Seriously. Yeah, they absolutely
can. It is crazy. They make it feel real good. But yeah, thick skin, definitely hearing people's feedback, but then also just some clients, like just their personalities, right? Different people have different personalities. And it's like, man, it's just something you just got to have some thick skin.
Even within the same firm.
Yeah.
We were on a photo shoot not all too long ago. And the first day of the photo shoot, we were with one person. And the second day, we were with a different person. And it was just like night and day. And it was the same client. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So energy.
So when you do that, do you have to be like, okay, wait, I need you and the other person.
Yeah.
At the same time, because really y'all probably should talk this through. Is it that
kind of? I mean, it would be helpful. I do think that the schedule kind of mitigates a little bit of that because everybody from that firm has seen the schedule and has approved it. And if they haven't, by the time we're at the photo shoot, I feel like that might be more of a communication problem on their end. They've had it for several weeks and everybody says it's good to go, then it's good to go.
I get it. Number five, understanding it's a collaborative process.
So, and this might not necessarily be the case for every genre of photography, like landscape. I'm sure you, it's kind of up to like the one individual, the photographer, what this finished product is going to look like. But when you're dealing with architecture and interior design, you have to remember, yes, you're the photographer, but this is also their project and they've spent sometimes years working on this. This project is their baby. They know this project inside and out, and it's very, very, very important for them to get really good quality photos. And then on the same flip side, like you can't really get good quality photos without a photographer that has the right skill set and the right tools and knows what they're doing. So it's very collaborative. I need to be able to work with them. They need to be able to work with me. And there's feedback to be given, and feedback's not always easy to digest. But I do think the longer you do it, the easier it becomes.
Yeah, and the more you understand that it's a collaborative effort, it takes, does that take some stress off you too? Because you know, like, okay, there's somebody else that should be playing this part. I don't have to own that.
Sometimes, yeah, where it's like, you know, we can't really do anything about, like, there's one photo shoot comes to mind, and it was an active construction site. And we do the very best that we can, but there are some angles you're probably not going to get because there's a scissor lift in the middle of the room, or and most of the time people are pretty understanding.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, can you Photoshop out that scissor lift? You're like, oh my gosh. I'm gonna send that off to my editor and that's gonna cost you extra.
But
usually people are pretty understanding.
But it takes somebody else to get that thing moved. It wasn't something on you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Or scheduling possibly at a different time. And then it's, I think because I have the knowledge of working in-house, I also understand how limited the timelines are between when a project is complete and when move-in is. And finding the right time to photograph a project is like very, it's not an easy job for whoever's coordinating it. And I get that. Because let's say you're photographing like an office space that has, you know, 40 desks. It is so much easier to photograph that before people are moved in and they have photos of their families all over their desks. Or like another project comes to mind. People like had like little toys up on their cubicle walls. We have to go in and take all of that down. And that's honestly where a lot of the preparation, like that's why we have to be there for hours because we have to remove it all.
Yeah.
We take pictures with our phones and then we have to put it back.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of prep work.
That is.
And we usually, when we're communicating with that building owner, we ask them to tell their employees to do that. Sometimes we show up and it has not been done.
It ain't even nowhere near.
Yeah. So I don't even remember where I was going with that.
Were we talking about collaborative? And I guess you're saying like
yeah.
people will have to, that's somebody else's job sometimes to schedule and understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Scheduling when a photo shoot's going to be. And then sometimes like we'll be photographing a restaurant. And yeah, ideally you would like to do it before the business opens. But sometimes they'll have tables, but they won't have chairs. Like the chairs haven't been delivered yet, or their plates haven't been delivered yet, or their bottles of wine are not in the wine cabinet. And it's like this delicate balance of, yeah, it would be great to get it before people kind of go in and muck up the space. But at the same time, we also need a little bit. We don't want it to be a totally empty room either. We want it to look.
Yeah, you want it to feel, have
life.
Yes.
Like a human presence.
There's going to be chairs in here if people really want the right feel.
Yeah, so exactly.
To not have the chairs is not. Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah.
So I also, I think just having that in-house marketing experience, I understand where they're coming from sometimes when it comes to scheduling.
Yeah. You've been in those shoes.
I've been in those shoes.
Well, Mel, thank you so much. I appreciate you, one, making the trip down to Go Through America.
Yeah.
To spend a little time with me. And
Been a minute.
Let me walk through your Instagram with you a little bit and learn more about your work. And I think one of the things that you said that really makes sense, and for whoever's listening, if you get this far, right, and so we'll cut these up. But, man, these are more than just photographer things. These are some real life stuff that a lot of people can say, okay, I just need to be more persistent, or I need to have better communication skills. Mm-hmm. I need thicker skin. I need to understand that collaborative, this whole community wins. Like we say, community wins here in Go Through America, because mm-hmm. we understand when we're working together, we're a much better community. And so
Absolutely. These
are all real things. Thank you.
We all have the same goal.
Yeah. We sure do. And so where can people find you? Instagram? What's your website? What's all that goodness?
Instagram's probably where you're going to see the most up-to-date work, which I do not post as frequently as I should.
She doesn't post a ton, ladies and gentlemen, but when she does.
I need to more often. I just, you know, life gets in the way. Yeah. But I do post there more frequently than I do my website. So let's go with Instagram.
Let's go with Instagram. What is it?
Just Mel Willis.
It's Mel Willis.
@MelWillis.
How did you get your name?
I was an early Instagram adopter.
Wow. It pays off to be first. It pays off to be one of the first. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, as always, go win.